Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Mindfulness Workbook for OCD, Second Edition, a guide to overcoming obsessions and compulsions using mindfulness and cognitive behavioral therapy. By John Hirschfield, MFT, and Tom Corboy, MFT. Foreword by James Claiborne, PhD, ABPP. Narrated by Daniel Henning. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to images, worksheets, and graphics present in the print and ebook formats of the book. This publication is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering psychological, financial, legal, or other professional services. If expert assistance or counseling is needed, the services of a competent professional should be sought. Foreword. The history of mindfulness and its inclusion in cognitive behavioral practice is long and complicated. As a concept and practice, mindfulness is most closely associated with Buddhism, but it actually has roots in many traditions and a place in everyone's experience. As a component of treatment, mindfulness first showed up in stress management and later pain management, pioneered by Jon Kabat-Zinn. Marsha Linehan incorporated mindfulness into the treatment of borderline personality disorder in her groundbreaking development of dialectical behavior therapy, DBT. Mindfulness became an important part of work with recurrent depression in mindfulness-based cognitive therapy for depression, MBCT, by Zindel Siegel and other therapists in the field. I first learned the potential importance of mindfulness in CBT while learning about DBT and MBCT. Later, I was influenced by the work of Steve Hayes and others who developed acceptance and commitment therapy, ACT. ACT brings a different perspective on mindfulness, our thoughts and values. Interestingly, when I first discussed it with some highly respected experts on OCD, I was met with some dismissive responses and strange looks. My intention to broach the subject of mindfulness in a self-help book I was co-writing led to a conflict with co-authors that threatened the project. Some of the early attempts to usher the benefits of mindfulness into working with OCD were awkward, which may have fed resistance. The best thinking in science comes from people who are open to new ideas and, while skeptical, are simultaneously willing to look at the data. We've arrived at a point where it's generally recognized that mindfulness is an important component of well-conceptualized CBT for OCD. I've known John Hirschfield for many years, originally from his participation in an internet support group for people with OCD, and subsequently from his writing and presentations, including some we've done together. He readily acknowledges how OCD has affected his life and led him to become a therapist, focusing on helping others with this common and often devastating disorder. John Hirschfield and Tom Corboy are well known for their work with people who are suffering with OCD. In this self-help workbook, John and Tom describe how to include mindfulness in a self-help approach to managing OCD. First, they provide a clear and understandable explanation of mindfulness and ideas about basic practice. They then skillfully blend ideas about how to practice mindfulness with solid CBT for OCD. This second edition has incorporated powerful new ideas, including a clear description of inhibitory learning and the inclusion of metaphors that help gain perspective on our thoughts in the tradition of ACT. I often hear people with OCD complain that the self-help books they read don't describe OCD in a way that they experience the disorder, so they wonder if others have the same symptoms that they do or if they really have OCD. Because OCD is one of the most diverse diagnoses, no book can realistically cover all the possible presentations. There are chapters devoted to many of the more common ways in which OCD presents so that readers can easily identify with the symptoms and learn how to use CBT, including mindfulness practice, to help themselves. Additionally, the examples and ideas about how to integrate mindfulness into CBT for a variety of OCD presentations will give therapists a head start in helping their clients. I've been recommending the first edition of this book to my clients with OCD and to other therapists since it was first published. I will continue to enthusiastically recommend the new edition. James Claiborne, PhD, ABPP, ACT. Introduction. Welcome to the second edition of the Mindfulness Workbook for OCD. Although this book is not a substitute for professional treatment, you can use it as an adjunct to treatment, with or without a therapist's guidance, if you wish to incorporate mindfulness concepts into your approach to better mental health in the presence of obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD. Who are we? When I was 28, my lifetime struggle with a myriad of OCD issues came to a head, and I realized I simply couldn't go it alone anymore. I made two decisions that would change my life forever. I sought treatment from an OCD specialist, and I began writing about OCD. My therapist taught me to challenge my usual way of processing information. This involved the hard work of combining cognitive therapy, behavioral therapy, and acceptance of discomfort into a larger approach to overcoming the grip my disorder had on me. The platform I chose for writing about OCD was an online discussion board. On this board, I met Michael Jenicke, James Claiborne, and Jonathan Grayson, and started picking up on their ideas about cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, and mindfulness. Things like not assuming that your thoughts are important just because you have them, or that uncertainty is intolerable just because it's uncomfortable. Also, my fellow sufferers who found the words to articulate their OCD experiences online inspired me such that I wanted to give back more than an email could offer. With the amazing support of my wife and my parents, I was able to shift life's gears and obtain a master's degree in clinical psychology. As a psychotherapist, I've been blessed with the opportunity to work face-to-face with OCD sufferers, the kind of people whose stories I previously had encountered only in writing. There have been so many different stories, yet they all say the same things about how some thoughts and feelings are just overwhelmingly hard to accept. Since the first edition of this book was published, I've learned more and written more about treating OCD. I've also continued to explore mindfulness on both personal and professional levels. My meditation practice developed into a deepened curiosity about the nature of consciousness and a better sense of understanding how obsessions are really stories and how stories differ from what is actually happening. Many of the insights discussed academically in the first edition of this book were later confirmed for me experientially during days of silent meditation on retreats with the Insight Meditation Society and the Insight Meditation Community of Washington. Just as my personal journey continues, new developments in our understanding of cognitive behavioral therapy and exposure-based treatments for OCD also keep evolving. They seem to consistently strengthen the argument that a better ability to observe thoughts, feelings, and sensations as they really are, without their stories, is the key to mastery over OCD. My hope is that this updated version of the workbook makes this as clear as possible. John Hirschfield, MFT. I was introduced to the concepts of mindfulness and acceptance from an altogether unexpected source. In 1989, my father casually suggested that I read M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. I'd never heard of it and was immediately struck by its first three words: life is difficult. That's quite an opener. But what followed was even more challenging. Once we truly know that life is difficult, once we truly understand and accept it, then life is no longer difficult. I wasn't quite sure what to make of this idea. Having had a typical Midwestern childhood, I'd been raised to believe that difficulties were to be faced and conquered. I'd never even remotely entertained the notion that I should accept the difficulties life threw at me, and I wasn't at all sure I liked the idea. In the early 1990s, I attended graduate school for counseling psychology at the University of Southern California, where I wrote my thesis on the treatment of OCD. By then, research had become conclusive that the most effective OCD treatment was cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. Then, while I worked as a postgraduate intern in Los Angeles, a client noted that she had found a measure of peace in a book by Pema Chodron titled The Wisdom of No Escape, which focused on the benefits of mindful awareness and acceptance of the pains and discomforts inherent in the human experience. Well, sometimes the student is the teacher. I bought a copy of the book and was immediately taken aback by the clarity of its logic. Chodron's basic thesis was that our discomfort would be more tolerable, or maybe even diminish, if we just stopped trying to deny and avoid our unwanted thoughts and feelings, and instead chose to mindfully accept and even learn from them. In the following years, I sought and read many more books that focused on mindfulness and acceptance. In 1999, I founded the OCD Center of Los Angeles, a private outpatient clinic specializing exclusively in the treatment of OCD and related anxiety-based conditions. Our treatment program focuses entirely on the integration of traditional CBT with the principles of mindfulness and acceptance. Since founding the OCD Center over 20 years ago, the world of OCD treatment has changed considerably. Back then, very few psychotherapists specialized in treating OCD. Fortunately, that has changed, and now far more treatment providers dedicate their careers to this condition. If you or a loved one struggles with OCD, please know that highly specialized help is available. This book is meant to be used as a workbook. It presents a hands-on approach to OCD based on melding traditional CBT techniques with the somewhat more abstract meta-principles of mindfulness and acceptance. It's my sincere hope that this book helps you more mindfully experience and accept whatever life throws at you. Tom Corboy, MFT. About this book. The aim of this book is to discuss how a concept called mindfulness can be used to treat obsessive-compulsive disorder in combination with a type of treatment called cognitive behavioral therapy. The gold standard of treatment for OCD, CBT, has been demonstrated to significantly and effectively reduce symptoms. An exploration in combining mindfulness with CBT found that, far from undermining the process, mindfulness complements or even enhances CBT. In the chapters ahead, we will explore some of the main tools used in CBT and how implementing mindfulness can contribute to treatment. This book has three parts. Part 1 focuses on developing a basic understanding of three modalities: mindfulness, cognitive therapy, and behavioral therapy, which come together in mindfulness-based cognitive behavioral therapy. You will familiarize yourself with the main tools of each modality for responding to OCD: mindful awareness, challenging distorted thinking, and exposure with response prevention, ERP. Part 2 breaks down common obsessions found in OCD and describes how to use the tools learned in Part 1 to address them. This includes fostering a better understanding of how OCD uses each triggering thought or feeling to push you into responding compulsively. You will examine the different types of distorted thinking that each obsession promotes and specific tips for doing exposures. Each chapter also includes tips on guiding your thought process using meditation while being challenged by your obsession. Part 3 explores the other details of living with OCD and using mindfulness to maintain healthy relationships as an OCD sufferer. Take a breather. Learning about OCD when you have OCD isn't always easy. At times throughout this book, you may find yourself getting triggered or spiked by its concepts. You may feel that hearing about other manifestations of OCD could cause them to be your new obsessions. This is a common fear, and while we never recommend avoidance for dealing with OCD, it's okay to cut yourself some slack here and skip chapters you don't think apply to you now. You may find later, when you're more in command of your OCD, that listening to the chapters you skipped will become a valuable learning experience. Take in the information you find here at whatever pace feels appropriate for you. Challenge yourself to let the book present itself, but allow yourself whatever space or breaks you need to get through it. There's no prize for finishing this book in one sitting. We hope that gaining the tools and strength to fight your OCD will be the real prize. Part 1. Mindfulness and OCD. Obsessive-compulsive disorder is a psychiatric and psychological mental health issue that is estimated to be experienced at some point in the lives of 2.3% of the general population. An obsession is an unwanted intrusive thought. This type of thought may present itself as an idea, image, urge, memory, or other internal information, and you experience it as unwanted and distressing. A compulsion is a behavior designed to reduce or avoid the discomfort that comes from your experience of an obsession, often by trying to make yourself feel more certain that your fears are untrue or that you are safe. This behavior may be physical, such as washing or checking, or mental, such as reviewing or neutralizing. We will discuss these terms in more detail in upcoming chapters. Disorder describes something that's not contained or not as stable in such a way that it could be impairing. It's out of order. Disordered. When something is out of order, it's natural to try to fix it. However, the strategies you might use to address your unwanted thoughts and feelings, such as trying to get more certain that they are untrue, or simply ignoring or distracting yourself from them, end up being ineffective. The key to really addressing a disorder is to identify novel, alternative strategies that are more effective than the ones you might assume. Mindfulness and cognitive behavioral approaches outlined in this book are the strategies that we and other professionals treating OCD recommend. So, rather than viewing yourself as defective for having a mental health disorder, consider that the problem is really more like having an instruction manual for a different model of the mind. You may find that the troubleshooting page of the manual you have is full of certainty-seeking strategies, compulsions that do not work. This workbook is designed to help you rewrite that troubleshooting page to better fit the model of mind you have. Your OCD story. If you've ever read a workbook on OCD or any related disorder, you've probably seen case examples presented as Bob's story, Mary's story, and so forth. You may have read their stories and thought, that's me. Your story is unique because it happened to you. But for the most part, all OCD stories are your story. One day, you had a thought that didn't seem right to you. It didn't reflect your belief, but it was your thought. Why would you have it without believing it? This disconnect triggered a feeling. Not just mild dissatisfaction, but some kind of psychological pain. Like any healthy, rational person, you set out to get rid of that pain. However, everything you could come up with seemed to help only for a brief moment and then cause the pain to strike back more viciously. The more you tried not to think about it, the more the thoughts intruded. The more you self-soothed, the more you hurt. The more you avoided, the more you were forced to confront things. You tried to let go, but couldn't. People said, "Just drop it," and you began to resent them for being unfair. Your world got smaller and smaller. The things you love became reminders of what you hate, and you began to see yourself as an imposter. When you see yourself as the imposter, you perceive yourself as merely pretending to be a functioning human being. Inside, you experience constant, relentless suffering. The imposter is contaminated, a danger to others, deviant, unloved, disconnected, imperfect, immoral, and above all, not in control. You're not just anxious. There's something sharp jabbing in your mind. But all is not lost. Although your suffering may be great, your ability to change this experience is within your grasp. Chapter 1. The Brain, the Mind, and You. Take a moment to consider your present reality as involving three separate entities: your brain, your mind, and you. The brain is a physical collection of organic matter that resides in your skull. Like other organs, it serves a variety of functions through a complex series of chemical and electrical interactions. A main function of the brain is to organize data, including thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations. The brain presents this data like a computer presents zeros and ones to a processor. The mind is that processor. It receives the data and acts on it. It filters it, promotes it, rejects it, and adds color and meaning to it. You are simply you. You are the one watching what the mind does with the data it receives. You are the witness, the observer of what the processor puts up on the computer monitor. Take a moment to drink this in. This concept is essential for developing mastery over OCD. You are the one who is aware of your thoughts. This is a completely different way of framing reality than believing that you are the content of the thoughts themselves. Most of us struggle to separate ourselves from the mind. If the mind seems busy analyzing the meaning of a thought, then it seems as if we are personally responsible for that analysis. Mindfulness is a concept grounded in the idea that you can observe what your mind is doing and decide for yourself how involved you want to be in the process. In his book, The Mindful Brain, Daniel Siegel describes the mind as a process that regulates the flow of energy and information. So, whether it's helpful for you to imagine the mind as part of the brain or as part of something more ethereal, consider that what we are most interested in is what it does, not what it is. What we are attempting to understand here is how the mind interacts with the OCD brain and with you, the OCD sufferer. The basic concept of mindfulness. Mindfulness is acknowledging and accepting whatever is happening in the present moment exactly as it is. Professor, author, and researcher Jon Kabat-Zinn defines it as the awareness that emerges through paying attention on purpose, in the present moment and non-judgmentally to the unfolding of experience. As a skill, it means developing the ability to notice what your mind is doing with the information it receives from the brain. This involves noticing individual acts of the mind, as well as patterns and tendencies of the mind. The practice of mindfulness for OCD is the cultivation of a relationship between you and your mind in which you cooperate with one another in your development of mastery over the disorder. The experience of OCD is feeling very much out of control of your mind. When you don't see yourself as separate from your mind, you may feel as if you are doing whatever your mind is doing. That means you not only are being asked to cope with the presence of intrusive thoughts that come with your OCD, but you also are taking on personal responsibility for how terrible they appear. It feels as if you are the malevolent generator of your unwanted ideas and the victim of them at the same time. You may attempt to pull the mind away from the unwanted thoughts by trying to convince yourself that your unwanted thoughts would never happen, that you're safe and it's okay for your mind to stop. But it doesn't work. The brain presents, the mind receives and acts, and you feel like a slave to the whole process. But if you develop the capacity to better observe what the mind is doing, you can begin to view the OCD thoughts as something different from their content. Because those of us with OCD so often find pain in OCD thoughts, we become accustomed to seeing our minds focused on judgment and rejection of what the brain offers. Rather than let the mind take in the thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations as they are, we fight. But it's the wrong fight. If you can choose to stay on the sidelines and observe what your mind receives and where it tends to go with it, you can begin to choose measured responses to your OCD thoughts. Instead of automatically reacting, you can begin to respond. To react to OCD is to jump into compulsions. To respond to OCD is to observe what your mind is doing and choose your next step. Let's address the giant Buddha statue in the room. Perhaps you have some apprehension about utilizing mindfulness because of associations it has with Buddhism. You do not have to be a Buddhist or subscribe to Buddhism to utilize and benefit from mindfulness. Roughly 2,500 years ago, a man named Siddhartha Gautama set out on a mission to better understand what it is to be human and to be conscious. He sat and observed his own mind until he concluded that we spend much of our time in a deluded state, following stories we tell ourselves and failing to wake up to the present moment reality. He became known as the enlightened or awakened one, the Buddha. He described human suffering as being caused by clinging too tightly to the desire that things be one way or another instead of observing them simply as they are. Sound familiar? If you have OCD, you know what it is like to suffer from an intense wish for certainty about your thoughts or a desire that they go away. Mindfulness, or sati, as it was called in his language of Pali, literally translated, means remembering to be aware. Our failure to remember that thoughts are simply thoughts is how OCD so effectively commandeers our attention. Because we forget to be aware, we think and think without really knowing that what we are doing is thinking. We forget that we are really just sitting here, breathing, having bodies, hearing sounds, and so on. And we get trapped in these long and convoluted mental webs. So whatever religious practice or philosophical tradition you may subscribe to, if you subscribe to one at all, mindfulness does not require you to abandon your deeply held beliefs or take on Buddhist tenets. All we ask you to do is what the Buddha supposedly suggested we all do. Not to follow him or some new religion, but just to remember to show up to the present and see if that works out better for you than remaining lost in your OCD stories. In her book Radical Acceptance, Tara Brach describes being lost in a trance of unworthiness and struggling with the story that something is fundamentally wrong with us. If you have OCD, your obsessions and compulsions are a reflection of this story. It tells you that you are not moral enough, not hygienic enough, not confident enough, not having good enough thoughts and feelings, and ultimately that you have not earned your self-worth. Nothing is actually wrong with you, but you are unaware that you are immersed in a narrative. Mindfulness is about waking up from that narrative. Staying in the present. If you've read mindfulness books or meditated, you've probably heard about staying in the present. At first, this may seem a bit silly, and you may think,
sample complete. Ready to continue?